Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. And we want to thank you so much for your word, because your word is so powerful and so clear. More than anything, Father, may your people know your nature, your heart, and your spirit more than anything else, and how important it is to receive the word in their understanding so that they can move forward with it and live with it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I had you go to Psalm 66 first, but I wanted you to go to Romans 5 first. I'm sorry. Would you go to Romans 5 first? Thank you. I didn't get any answer on that, but anyway, turn over to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's go to verse 12. Romans 5:12. Now, in case some of you didn't get it, John Cook, by the Holy Spirit, was led to type out Psalms 139 for everybody. And so, do we have the notes?
They're out there.
The notes are out there in the foyer. They're free. So if you want to, I had John type out the Psalm 139 in detail for you. And I want to encourage you to get that psalm. It's a wonderful psalm, and I enjoy it so much. And sometimes when life gets a hold of you and kind of pushes you down, get a hold of that psalm and start reading it, and know it's God's commitment to you. Mm-hmm. Praise God. How many of you ever had some dark days in your life? It's nice to know that it's not dark to God. It's still light to Him. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God. In Romans chapter 5, the book of Romans is very indicting, and it's very deep. It has a lot of good insight in it. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, something happened at the fall of Adam, and this one does a wonderful job of explaining what had happened to man after the fall. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world. And when he said sin there, singular, he's referring to the nature of sin. And then death through that sin nature. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not reckoned. Now, my translation has imputed, but a lot of people don't understand what that term means. It literally means reckoned or taken into account. What is right from what is wrong when there is no law. Nevertheless, that sin nature, death, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, this particular verse here has to be explained to you a little bit. He said that nevertheless, this death nature reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. And what he was saying is, Adam's transgression was that he was given an understanding of what to do and what not to do. So he had a personal encounter with God and told him not to do certain things. Now, this church believes in the open view of God. I do not believe in Calvinism. Matter of fact, I had not really understood the doctrine of Calvinism until John Cook went into the internet and and dug up the resources of Calvinism. And when I started reading it, I went, oh my God, because I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means. I know very little about the Hebrew. And so this particular information that we'd gotten over the internet, as I read it, I was literally shocked at how Calvinism really got into our Bible. And I had not realized, but back there, Calvinism was back as far as 1600.
Yeah.
And King James wanted control of the people. And so he got a hold of his translators, and many of them were Calvinists. And they began to translate from the Hebrew to their language. And a lot of this Calvinistic teaching got into the to our Bible. Well, me not understanding Hebrew like I do Greek, but Hebrew, I don't understand that as much. And so when I look at Old Testament scripture, I can't really tell what was added and what was removed until maybe somebody was teaching out of the Old Testament that knew Hebrew and gave light to what was being said. I went, oh my gosh, that makes more sense to me. Because I begin to realize what Kenneth Hagin was saying years ago. He says, much of the Old Testament is on the causative basis. It's not that God picks and chooses who does what and by name or anything, that Calvinistic teaching. And as a result of that, a lot of things have been distorted in the Old Testament. And so every once in a while when somebody would give some insight as to the true meaning of Scripture in the Old Testament that was according to the Hebrew, that made a whole lot more sense to me.
Right.
And it freed me up because I thought God really was the one who created evil because he says, I create evil and I create good. And so some of these passages that would indicate that God is involved with evil and evil came from heaven, it kind of surprised me the true meaning behind those verses. Like that particular one is I permitted or I allowed these things to take place simply predicated on the basis that when man created God and when he created angels, he created them with a will. Now, the reason the will of the angels was in a little different aspect than our will, because angels were created in the presence of God. God himself created them. And so they had an understanding of God because they were created in heaven. So when they rebelled and transgressed, then God removed them instantly from heaven along with Satan. And God cannot do anything apart from a man's right to choose.
Yes.
Because when God created Adam and Eve, he created them with the right to choose.
Yes.
And that's understandable with God because God, no matter what in the end, no matter what comes to the end of anything, man will always stand in front of God and God will always have the testimony that they had the right to choose.
Yes.
What they chose.
Right.
And yet, many of us have difficulties with that, especially those who do not know how to control themselves. They don't know how to develop the kingdom of God within them, especially during our time frame. And so they're left to desires or the lust of the outward man, and they don't know how to deal with it. And so they'll find a doctrine that throws a responsibility back on God. And that's why this Calvinistic teaching is so damaging, because it removes the man's responsibility for his salvation and puts it back on God. I am what I am because that's the way you made me. God never made man or created him to be evil.
Right.
And Romans chapter 5 right there tells us that.
Yeah.
But through one man's fall, many inherited this sin nature.
Right.
And people don't realize what this sin nature is made up of. And I'll explain it to you the best way I know how about this nature, because people, right now, we're dealing in our society the opposition of that nature that is within mankind. And thank God he made a way for us to no longer be ruled by that outward nature, which is in our members. You know, I was reading scripture one day, and it come down to the end of Corinthians there, where he said every sin that man sins is without the body.
Right.
When I read that verse, I was stunned. Yeah. What do you mean every sin that a man sins is without the body? I said every sin I ever committed was with my body. And so it didn't make sense to me until I understood it in light of the text. He was saying every sin that a man sins will not be accountable to the body of Christ in the earth.
Yeah.
And so now we have the body of Christ permitting sin to come in and enter in with the body of Christ. And that's not good. That's bad.
Amen.
But you have to understand that there is a nature from without, and there's a nature from within. And if you're born again today, you have the nature of God that has been poured out in your spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. And so you do have, for the first time in your life, you do have now a nature within that can oppose the nature without. Now, there's a lot of teaching going on about the influence of Satan, and I understand that. Definitely understand that. I mean, the Bible's very clear that Satan will take advantage of, but the Bible is very clear, he'll take advantage to whomever he can.
Right. Yes.
To whomever he can. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Calvinistic teaching does not interpret anything in the New Testament that makes any sense. It's highly demonic. Matter of fact, people say, well, what about Romans 9? I can understand Romans 9 thoroughly. And it actually indicts Calvinism.
Yeah.
Because where God is coming from through Romans 9 is the fact that he gave man the right to choose.
Yeah.
But because God is who he says he is, he has a right to have mercy on whomever he wills. Are you following me? And that means that him being God and created mankind, he has a right to show mercy on whomever he wants to, but not on the fact of whether they pick and he picks and chooses their decisions for them. No, matter of fact, as you read on those verses, he said clearly to Moses, he said, hey, listen, Moses, I'm asking you to do something, but I got news for you right now. He says, I know the heart of Pharaoh. And Moses knew the heart of Pharaoh because he grew up in the same house with him. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't going to let my people go. So I'm going to send you.
Yeah.
And you got to tell him, let my people go.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because Pharaoh refused to obey God in letting his people go, God said, because you have refused, I am going to take your choice and exalt me over my people to the world.
Yes. Exactly.
And when those spies went into Canaan to spy out the land, and Rahab the harlot was there, she says, oh, you guys, oh, is he with you? I'm paraphrasing this.
Yeah.
And it says, who's with us? Oh, we don't fear you. We fear the guy that's behind you.
Yeah.
Because we have heard what he did, and you're getting you free from Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hands. We heard about you guys. No, we heard about the God that's behind you guys. And so she was considered what? A woman of faith, because she believed that their God was God. Powerful, isn't it? But why am I saying all this? Because we're in a crisis right now, where this death nature is reigning and the concept of God is dwindling in the minds of people.
Yeah.
And so you and I have a part that we have got to play in order for us to be the salt that God intends for us to be.
Right.
Now, God spoke to me and he told me this. He says, Pastor, he says, you tell them what I want them to do because I need them now more than ever.
Yeah.
And I, okay, what do you want me to tell them? You tell them that they can preserve what's going on right now over your nation. Okay, like preserve, like what do you mean? Tell them how to pray for not only for their nation, but for themselves and for their brothers and sisters and for their loved ones that are not saved. Tell them how to pray. God, I'm not sure if I know all that, you know, from that concept. You know something? That's the way God is. We always view God, especially from the Calvinistic viewpoint, that God is up to just cremate anybody that doesn't abide by his will. You know, that's not God. God is love. And you know what God's love is? He has a passion for people. And guess what? He has a passion for Democrats as well as Republicans. Now, I hope this doesn't get out to the news media because, but you get the drift of what I'm saying. God has a passion for people. And he wants us to know what his will is so that we can also pray for our loved ones and our friends and our church and, you know, and those that have to rule this nation and run it, you know. And anyway, God said, share with your people about praying for people versus things. And that caught my attention. And I've taught on this before, but he wants me to reiterate this message for you. There is a difference between having faith for people versus having faith for things. And they're very important. And I told the Lord, I said one time, I said, well, what is the difference? He says, well, things, whatsoever things you desire, things do not have a will. But people do possess a will. Oh, wow, that's enlightening. And he says, if people learn how to pray, especially for people who have a will, then it's good for you to know how to pray for them. Because they do have a will. And you know what? Even when we pray for people, we can't violate their will. But we can do one thing. We can listen to God. And he can lead us on how to pray for somebody according to his will for them to affect their will. It's important to know this. Now, how many of you have had people come to you and ask you to pray for them like this? I know I'm not where I ought to be with God, but will you pray for me?
Yep.
Or, I know I am a sinner, but maybe God will have mercy upon me if you pray for me. Now, when we were in Texas, me and my brother Tim, when we went to Expo 72, Billy Graham Crusade, there was some of our group leaders. We were all going out into the highways and byways and preaching to people on the streets. As a matter of fact, I saw a motorcycle policeman kneeling on the ground receiving Jesus, and two believers were preaching the gospel over him. I thought that was so cool. But our two leaders caught notice of me and Tim because all we could talk about was, because it hadn't been too long for me to be saved. I was just on fire for God, and so was my brother Tim. And so we expressed that in our group a lot. And both of the leaders came up to Tim and me and said, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but would you pray for us? asked me and Tim to pray for him. And I said, you want us to pray for you right now? And I was shocked because he was my leader. And why did he want me to pray for him? I thought, he should pray for me, you know.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm not talking about now. But in your prayer time, pray for me. And so I knew right then and there, after talking with him a little bit, I knew that underneath, I didn't know exactly what, but underneath, he was not able to overcome something in his life. And it was coming between him and God. You know what I mean? And so my heart went out to him. And sure enough, when I went into my prayer closet, I happened to think of those two. Me and Tim, we started praying. And it was really strange. I don't know how long I was praying for him, but I decided to start praying in the Spirit. And I knew, without even questioning it, I knew what he was bound by. And I said, wow, why didn't he just tell me that? And the Lord said, he couldn't, because he kept it under wraps. But you pray for that, because I reveal it to you. And so I stood and I prayed for him. Now, I don't know the results of my prayer, but I did pray for him until I felt the Spirit lift, you know. So how many of you ever heard pray through?
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't understand when you're praying through something that you get a witness in your natural man as well as in your spirit. You know, you get a confirmation that something was accomplished. And so I started praying for him. And I begin to realize how important it is for us to pray for one another. Did you know that God told me to tell you this morning that he has moved on you to pray for certain people in this body here and you haven't done it? You thought about them. You thought it was a thought. But you never did pray for them. How many of you ever had a thought about somebody? They kept coming back on you. Well, that is a sign for you to pray for them. And a lot of times you don't know what to pray for them about. But once you get into your prayer closet and begin to pray, and keep your big fat mouth shut. Don't go running off to somebody else and telling them what you prayed for them about.
Right.
Keep it to yourself, and then God will use you more.
Right.
You know, there are some Christians, I've asked them, there are some Christians that never has ever experienced a position of intercession for anybody. That's sad. Has God ever asked you to pray for somebody and put that burden on you in such a manner that it is so on you, so powerful, and then all of a sudden it lifts?
Right.
Well, that's the first sign. God's calling and putting an anointing on you for a form of intercession for them. The first time that came on me, the form of intercession, because nobody taught about it, except Dad Hagen. He did begin to teach about it, about intercession. And I was up in the Red Room. How many of you remember the Red Room? Is Aaron here? Aaron, you remember the Red Room. The Red Room was upstairs, and it was a big room. We held a lot of meetings in there, and that's where I'd go to pray. And so one afternoon, I decided to go over there from my office over into the Red Room. And at that time, there was a doctrine going around that Christians can be demon-possessed. As a matter of fact, there was a certain minister teaching, I won't say his name, teaching you can have a devil on one side of you and God on the other. And I never bore witness with that.
Yeah.
Thank God I never did. But so I was arguing on that subject about Christians having devils on the inside of them. And, well, I just mocked it. But I got up in this upper room, the Red Room, and I began praying in the Holy Spirit. And I went through all my natural praying. And so then I still do, I set my time aside for just praying in the Spirit over Scripture. And then I just give my spirit to God in tongues, and I just pray. And sometimes I'll be a long time in tongues, and sometimes I'll be real short. But as I kept praying in tongues and kept walking around this room, it began to intensify in me, this praying in tongues. And I kept praying in tongues and praying in tongues, and it began to really intensify. And the next thing I knew, I felt foreign to this world. I didn't feel like I was a part of it. And I knew I was in the Spirit until all of a sudden I started getting these cramps in my stomach and this horrible feeling, and I fell down on the floor and I started screeching out of me as though I had a demon in me. And I went, and my natural mind is saying, what is going on here? And I just kept, and all of a sudden I rolled over and I threw up. And it was all gone. And I got up and I went, did I deliver myself of a devil? Oh no. And I am totally depressed. I everything within me rebelled at what just happened to me. People, I'm telling you, I was literally depressed. I didn't understand what happened to me. Thank God for people that know what intercession is about. Yeah. And so I walked from that room after I cleaned my mess up into my office, and this was a Wednesday afternoon, and that's usually when I'll commit myself to my prayer closet for the Wednesday night service. We had a special speaker, and she was coming to the service. And is he here? She's at the women's thing. Well, anyway, and it was a Wednesday night, and Glenda Grooms did a wonderful job. Just preached her heart out. And then we had an altar call, and I was up there with Glenda. And first wife went, and she had a demon, and she started screaming and screeching. And I said, oh my gosh, she's going to scare the kids. Take her into the side room that we had. And so they put her in the side room, and I says, I'll go in there afterwards. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I'm still recovering from delivering myself of a devil. And so I'm depressed, and I don't even think God's with me, you know. It goes to show you, your mind can play some weird stuff on you. And so after the meeting, I went into this side room and I shut the door, and she's crouched over in the corner, and she's, and I went, do you want to be saved? And I heard a voice come out of her. It didn't seem like her own, but it was her own. Very faint. Yes. And I says, and the devil kept trying to talk over her voice. And I said, you shut up. I said, okay, if you want to get saved, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to lay hands on you and get rid of that devil. And so I went over there and went to lay hands on. She jumped up and ran across the room. And he did not want my hand on her. And so I started walking towards her, and she goes right by me. And so next thing you know, we're running back and forth on this wall. And I leaped on her, drug her down, put my hand on her, and that thing was ranching, and she rolled over, she threw up, and her eyes were all bright. And I said, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, yes, I want to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. So I led her to the Lord and got her filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues right there. And so she got up, she was delivered. As far as I know, she's doing okay today. But anyway, I walked out of the room, and as I was walking out of the room, the Lord said, you delivered her that afternoon.
Yes.
It wasn't that I had a devil, is it what I went into a form of intercession. Yep. And the Lord knew that she wanted to be saved. But I found out her whole family was involved in witchcraft. And she picked up that devil. But God knew her heart. God knows people's heart. You and I don't know their heart like God knows it. And I went, wow, boy, I was happy. Because Christians cannot have a devil. And it was confirmed to me to stick to that belief. But and so I was excited about that, at the fact that she was freed up. Glory to God. Now, that don't mean nothing to you, but boy, I'll tell you what, it means something to me at that time, because God used me. I'm going to tell you something, people. When God uses you, especially in the gifts of the Spirit, and you bring to somebody to light or bring him to salvation, there ain't nothing like it on planet Earth. That's why the Bible says he that waters others will be refreshed himself. And so I had a couple other experiences I don't want to go into about in the forms of intercession. But Dad Hagen says that when some forms of intercession, you actually take on their physical position. But you can deliver them. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to turn. Notice here in Romans 5, before we turn, he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the like. They never had God appear to them and tell them personally not to sin. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, according to the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam was a type. He was a federal head, a type that affected all of human race. Adam was. He was a federal head for all of human race. Once Adam fell, everyone inherited this nature to sin. Now, somebody said to me, how do you identify this nature within you? The only way that you can identify the nature within you is that when you read the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks back to you, that's when that nature will speak against that word. Because the nature that is contained within the physical being is a nature that is opposed to the Word of God. Now, your natural mind is not all bad. Thank God for that. Because it's made up of also of the senses. And so, naturally, you and I as adults... Now, children don't know the difference, but as adults, we know right from wrong in the natural without the gospel. We do. But if we don't have the gospel attached to us, knowing right from wrong, guess what? Then how are we going to defend ourselves what was wrong from what is right? And that's why a lot of people, especially that have grown up in this world with no gospel preached to them, no knowledge of God and His love for them, they have no way of defending themselves. And so what they do is they get conformed as what happens to them in this world. They're treated badly. They're raised improperly. Now the world's crying out, we need to do something with the mental health of the world. Yeah. If you know what? No matter how bad things get mentally with people, you know what God does? He still loves people. Amen. And He still wants to save them. And He still wants to deliver them. Yes. And you and I as a church called the salt, the preservative, we can do something about it. Amen. You just make contact with somebody and you can qualify to help deliver them if you want to spend the time doing it. But if you don't want to spend the time, God won't move on you. People, you and I are in a beautiful place today in this world that's just going wacko-doodle. Is it all right to say wacko-doodle? Sometimes I've used illustrations that, oh! We have the ability to pray for people. You know something? If you know anything about psychology, I don't know much about psychology at all. But if you know anything about psychology, that's study of the mind. That's more the natural mind. Yeah. And you can, if you're any kind of psychologist at all that has some kind of stability about you, you're going to find that a lot of people are messed up in the way they think. Am I right or wrong? Isabel, am I right or wrong? She understands psychology, right? And doesn't your heart go out to some of them in the way they think? And no matter what information you can give them, if they would take the advice, it would help them. But they still have a right to choose what they want to think. So, when you're praying for people, that's different than praying for things. Things don't have a will. Things will come to you. But people who have a will, you have to pray the will of God to come into their life so that they can stand or get the opportunity themselves to resist evil. But some people, you just have to pray through for them. Now, with that thought in mind, go over to 1 John. I want to show you something. We're getting along in time here, so I've got to keep mindful of it. 1 John chapter 5, go to verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In light of this text here, he's referring to you praying for others. People. And he says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. Notice he brings that up twice. There is a sin not leading to death, but he also mentions that there is a sin which leads to death. And then you and I can't pray about that. Well, here's, when I first looked at this in the Greek, I was shocked because the death that he's speaking of here is the Greek word thanatos. And it never denotes a non-existence. It means someone who is going to live eternally, spiritually.
Yes. Yeah.
Someone who is going to live spiritually, eternally. And so when you're praying and he says you can't pray for this kind of death, I got to thinking, God, what is that referring to? And here's what the Lord told me. He says, there are some things that you can pray for other people about, but there are some things it's their responsibility, not yours.
Right. Amen.
And you can't pray for that.
Yep.
So I can pray that someone come to the light of forgiveness. But I can't pray and intercede for him and take his place for his unforgiveness because that's his responsibility. Are you following what I'm saying? And so people, I'm going to tell you, if this message meant anything to you today, please get a hold of the understanding of how important it is to have a prayer life, first of all, not only for yourself, but for the sake of the Word of God, for the sake of your friends, for the sake of your relatives, for the sake of your church.
Right.
Are you following me? Because there is such a vast resource of gold right here in this church when I look at you.
Amen.
God can do great things for many people, including yourself. And it's not going to come out of the understanding of Calvinism.
Amen.
And so he said there is a sin leading to, there are some people you can pray for because they might not be in a position where they're hearing the truth or the gospel. Are you following me? Or you don't know their heart, but God knows every person's heart. And when you start praying for them by the guidance of God, God will affect that heart. Because why would he move on you to do it if he couldn't get results? There are some people, I'm telling you, there are some people that would come up here for prayer, and I'd go to lay hands on them, and God says, don't pray for them. And I went, I don't want to hear that. And God says, don't pray for them. This is what I want you to tell them. I want everybody to love me, God. I don't want nobody to know I rejected them. And this lady asked me to pray about something. She wanted me to pray that she would get this job. Well, it so happens that this particular lady, in the last job she had, it involved me. Because I went down to the County City Building to get some fingerprints taken for passports and for a concealed weapons permit. And I'm sitting there and I'm asking the sheriff, is this where I come? And he says, yeah. And I said, oh, are you going to take my fingerprints? He says, no, this particular lady that's supposed to be here is the one that has to take your fingerprints. And I said, well, do I need to go to some other place? No, this is where you come. And I said, well, is she supposed to be here? She's supposed to be here, but she's not here, as usual. And I said, well, how long? What do you mean, as usual? Because I wanted to know how much time it was going to take for me to sit. And he said, well, you just have to have a seat there until she gets here. All right. So I'm sitting down. 15 minutes later, she comes, and she's there. Oh, hi, Pastor. So she takes my fingerprints, and I can leave. She wants me to pray for another job. I said, what happened to the last one you had? And she said, why? And I said, well, you're wanting me to pray that you have favor over this next job? What is God going to use to show your favor to them? Because the favor that you're asking has to be in you. God will take the favor that he can show them that's from you.
Yeah.
Oh, turned around and walked off. She's not here, or I wouldn't be telling you the story. So, you see, there's some people you can't pray for. They have to deal with their own responsibility. Now, in closing, I want to share from you some things about praying for a believer and praying for an unbeliever. So if you have pencil and paper, John will do it for you. He'll type this out. When you pray for a believer, pray for their ignorance to be enlightened. Pray for the wisdom they need, because if you know them and you know the wisdom that they should be walking in, pray for them for that wisdom. Don't go and sit and telling them about it. Pray about it. And you know what? I prayed for certain people to have a certain kind of wisdom, and they come back and say, you know what, Jan? You know what the Lord's been telling me? And when they started telling me, I went, oh my gosh, prayer works. Pray for their circumstances to change by seeing their error. That is so important. By seeing their error. You know, a lot of times you'll see where people are missing the mark, and then you'll just throw that off on God. God, you know, help them because of what the results of what they're getting. No, if you can tell where they're missing the mark, pray that their eyes would be open by seeing their error.
Yes.
Number four, pray their faith fail not and that they stand on scriptures they need. A lot of times Christians don't stand on scriptures that they need. Do you know when God gave us a promise, especially for eternal life? You know what a promise is, people? A promise is something God obtained for you, and you can have it by just receiving it.
Yeah.
It's not a negotiable thing. If God did it, it's yours.
Amen.
And some believers don't know the scriptures they need. Number five, pray that they do not receive wrong doctrine. Pray that they come to know God's proper timing for their life. You know, it's important that you pray for people for their proper timing in their life. And sometimes you can tell what timing they need. And then pray that they will walk in forgiveness more than anything. Pray that they walk in forgiveness, because that's one area that God will not tolerate. Because the whole foundation of his existence towards us as people is that he forgave us while we were yet sinners. Amen. Now, when you're praying for the unbeliever, pray for someone to lead them to salvation. Not salvation, it's already provided. Pray for someone to lead them to being saved. And then you can also pray for their circumstances if they're unbelievers. You can pray for their circumstances. Number three, pray for their protection until salvation comes to them. Pray for their protection until salvation comes to them. I've done that a few times for people, and thank God I prayed for them, because they would have been dead if I had not. My own brother, Tim, he got on a motorcycle. I hate motorcycles. And he was whipping around and acting nuts like kids do on bikes. And he hit an island, and we found out later when I told him, "Tim, are you all right? I went into intercession for you. I was praying that the death would not come on you." And Tim goes, "When was that?" And I said, 2 days or 3 days, I can't remember. And I told him about the time, and he goes, "Do you know what happened to me?" He said, "I hit this island. I flipped way up in the air. And I landed right on my butt, didn't even hurt. And the bike went way over my head." And he said, "I should have been dead." He said, "I believe that that's why God had you pray for me." I said, "I know it." Amen. One time I went into intercession when I was driving down the street. And man, I went into intercession, and I couldn't hardly drive. And I said, "Lord, who am I praying for?" And the Lord says, "He's praying for you." "For me? What am I doing wrong?" Blue light. Pulled me over. "What did I do, officer?" He said, "Have you looked at your headlights on your car?" And I said, "What headlights?" Because the car I had was so old that the headlights and the framework, I lost them. So I taped the headlights. I know this is going to sound stupid, but I use masking tape, and I tape the headlights, and you can't even, if the lights were on, you wouldn't see the lights. And I said, "Well, I'm guilty of that, sir. I'm sorry." He said, "Well, you get them headlights fixed." He said, "I'll let you go this time." Praise God. Prayer worked. Pray, what can I do to assist God in their right to choose correctly? Sometimes that will cost you the love of God. Pray, what I can do to assist God in their right to choose correctly. Have you ever interceded for somebody for money? I had Sunny call me one day, and she said, "Pray for this family, they need money." And she said, "I know you'll go to the park this morning and pray for them." And I said, "Okay, I will." So I went to the park, and man, I remembered them in my prayer closet. Man, I got to praying for them, and I got in the Holy. I said, "God bless them." I forgot how much money it was, but I said, "God, just bless them." And God says, "Okay, go give it to them." What? And God said to me, "You go give them the money." This is one of them things. Anybody else up there? So I went and gave him the money. But you know what God told me? He says, "You've been praying and believing for $1,200. I guess it was $1,200 or something. I can't remember the amount, but it was quite a bit. And he says, you go give that money to that family, and I'll take care of what you need. And at that time, I was working at NORAD, Nordstrom Advertising in Puyallup there. And we were over at Curtis High School, and we were painting graphics on the walls, simulating water reflections. And I hear that door banging, and I look down, and it's my wife, Sue. And she's waving this check at me. I wonder, what in the heck is that? So I get down off the scaffolding, go over and open the door. And she said, guess what? We got $1,200 or whatever it was that I needed in the mail. I don't believe it. Thank God. Thank God. God has mercy on us. And then he told me, he says, because you were obedient to give to that family. I'm going to tell you something. When God asks you to do something, and you feel that you can't do it, you need to do it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Ask the Lord where their heart is at on any given situation where you see no results, so you can pray more effectively. And the last one, pray also for their timing in their life. Yeah. Very important. You know, a lot of times we become too much a victim of what people say and do. But you know what? God still looks on their heart. Don't always go by what you think or you see. Go by your willingness to pray for them. I'll have John type all this up. Would that be all right? See, things can also be circumstantial situations over people. We can affect circumstances with all our will, but the outcome ultimately is in their will to choose. People have to choose. And I want to tell you something. If you're fed up with somebody bugging you all the time, get God's will in their life toward you for praying for them, and they will change. I'll never forget years ago, I was having a hard time with this particular individual in the ministry. He hated me and Dave. He couldn't stand us. And I don't know what it was. I think either his wife or somebody, has been so long ago, I can't remember it. I think they got healed and he was believing for something else. I can't remember what it was. But I knew that this guy couldn't stand us. And I knew he was affecting one area of our ministry there in Oregon. And the Lord spoke to me and says, pray for him. Pray for, and then the Lord told me what to pray for in a specific area. And I never thought that this guy had this problem. But I prayed for him. He showed up in one of our meetings. I went, oh no, here comes Mr. Edifice. He walks up to me and he has this glow about him. And I said, wow, you look different. And he says, Pastor, he didn't call me Pastor Jan. He said, Jan, I love you. You love me? Yeah. I want you to forgive me. And I'm sitting there dancing on the inside. Prayer works. But you got to have the right heart for people. And he was such a toughie. I knew there's nothing I could say or do, but I knew that God could reach his heart. There was something that was motivating his heart. And I found out what it was in my prayer closet, and so I prayed in that specific area. And later on, he told me that testimony. He said, I was just angry at myself. I was in rebellion, and his issue was money. And so he hated everything, hated money. We took offerings. He hated it. Well, he's free of it. Yeah. So prayer works, people. Yeah. Prayer works. Yeah. Stand up. There's a treasure within you if you're willing to reach in and tap into it. There's a treasure in you. sometimes the circumstances of life can be so overwhelming. It sure helps to know somebody's praying for you. Many times I needed money. And somebody comes up and says, "Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. God put it on my heart to pray for you. I wish he'd put it on your wallet." But you can't think that way. You just have to trust that whatever God puts on their heart, they'll do. It's awesome. Father, we thank you for the word. And Father, we thank you most of all for the people that we have connection with in this life and how precious they really are to you. And may they become precious to us. We're living in some very difficult times, Father. And so, Father, move upon the church to be a treasure within so that we can make a difference as a church over a world that does not know, that has no idea of the love that you have for them. Father, may the only hatred we have, called a perfect hatred, is to oppose evil and everything that is in it, and let all else be ruled by your love in our hearts. And so this morning, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't really know you, maybe someone has interceded for them. And this morning, maybe I spoke something that would spark their heart and they would give their life to you so that they may be saved. If they don't know you, may they come to know you today. And Father, maybe there's believers here that have gotten away from you out of fellowship and need to move back into fellowship with you and to pray and to intercede for others. Hallelujah. Father, maybe somebody needs a divine healing here this morning. We would love to pray for them. And so if that fits you, you could step out now and come forward. Anybody that would like prayer? Anyone? Salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, there's one thing we're all going to pray for. Every one of us here. We're going to pray that God uses us more in our prayer life. Do you guys want to agree to that?
Yes.
Let's all agree together. Just confess after me. Heavenly Father, strengthen me. Speak to me about my prayer closet. Increase my prayer time. Give me the time, and I'll make it to communicate with you. For my friends, my church, my loved ones, my relatives, so they all come to the light of the glorious gospel. Amen and amen. Well, you guys are free.